right, welcome back, everybody. Yet again, here we are back on our normal schedule. We are back with another recap of the challenge, War of the Worlds 2. With I think we're up to episode 7. We were here last week with our podcast boss, whatever you want to call him, Colin Stone, but he is not here this week, so it's just myself and my usual co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you doing?
I am good. Sad to be without, you know, Colin and Haley, but glad to be back here. We lost another big player, but ultimately still high on this season.
Yeah, we lost another big player, and I feel like I jinxed Colin. I think like my tweet for last week's podcast was about how we were so happy for Colin that his team hadn't fallen apart. And then a couple days later, the episode airs and he loses another member of his team. But he's still doing pretty good with the points, so I don't think he has much to complain about at the moment.
Yeah, not too bad. Was watching the episode thinking, God, I really hope Bear is on Liguori's team so I could pull ahead finally again. But no such luck, definitely lagging behind.
And I realized, I was thinking about, like, as the elimination was about to start, I was like, ugh, like, I guess, you know, they're about to throw in Rogan, and that means that, you know, there's potential for Scally to get points. But then, of course, you have almost all of the UK guys on your team, and yep. It was pretty much, you know, either way, unless Bear ended up winning. So that's where we're at with the draft. But either way, we had another pretty big episode with Wednesday night. I couldn't remember what day of the week it was. I think I've learned a lesson. I think we kind of need to be careful what we wish for, because we had been saying we wanted more turbo, and we got more turbo, and not in the greatest way in terms of turbo doing, you know, advancing his challenge career, you know, potentially getting into a fight and, you know, pushing Jordan. I was terrified he was about to get sent home if it escalated any further. We know that Jordan is like a pretty smart competitor, but like they were both heated up, and I was like, somebody's about to start swinging and they're about to go home. But luckily we have them both still in here at the end of the episode. So, gut reaction or not initial reaction on the turbo situation from this episode.
You know that I'm always going to take Turbo side on things, but definitely nervous when I see Turbo. They have like in slow motion throws like the first push, but at the same time, like you have Jordan like marching up to him like really quickly. So didn't know how that was going to escalate, but luckily nothing went too far. In terms of Turbo's future challenge career, I have worried that Turbo does stay so far out of the drama and like the interpersonal dynamics that if he were to just keep, you know, going pretty far but not really giving them much of storyline outside of that, that he would, you know, be at risk for not coming back a few challenges down the line. But if he's going to keep bringing this, then I think Turbo might be a very well-rounded TV character, in their opinion.
Yeah, I tweeted this out, but there's a future Rivals or Vendetta season that happens anytime soon, count Turbo and Jordan in for the win right now. Like, everybody else stay home. There's no need to come out and compete. Jordan and Turbo as a team would be completely unstoppable. Nobody else would stand a chance. You could put, like, Paulie and I don't know, Joss and Wes, like any of these other strong guys together, and I just would not have any amount of confidence like I do in Turbo and Jordan as a pair. So definitely looking out for that in seasons to come. But luckily we end the episode with both of them still in the game, and we have a lot going on in the game. It looks like we're not getting any kind of progress in terms of UK versus US. I think it's safe to assume that at this point the UK is going to lose every single challenge of the season. They've been losing every challenge. The only one that they won and did not get disqualified on was the one where they were able to send Laurel into the elimination, and obviously did a pretty big move there, sent home one of the biggest players on the US team. And here we are with just UK players, you know, filing out the door now that the US team has somewhat gotten their stuff together, or at least, you know, the masterminds of the team, Zach, have gotten their stuff together. So, I guess just initial thoughts on Zach being the voice of reason for the US team, you know, holding them together this week.
I mean, we went from Leroy last week, which I was excited about, to Zach this week. Not as excited about. Everyone knows I'm not a big Zach fan. But overall, probably a good position for him to be in. If I am, you know, looking from Zach's point of view, I think he's like doing pretty well, managing to keep the peace. But in terms of Team UK, really got to pull something together. Only challenge they've won, like you said, it's the one the Team US threw. So need
Right.
to see some prospects on the board out of them.
Right. So I don't know, what's going to be able to get them a win. Honestly, at this point, it kind of feels like nothing. The US team is just so stacked. It's got so many power players that know what they're doing. The UK team, it's not like they have weak competitors. I mean, a lot of these people are proven, especially in like eliminations. You have Joss and Georgia, who are all like strong on their own, that have shown that they're able to do things. But it's just they're just no match. It's the U.S. team, whether it's like chemistry that they have between each other from knowing each other for all these years, they're getting the challenges done despite I mean, the challenge this week was like terrible, so hard. I couldn't even imagine. Like sometimes I just put myself in their place and I'm like, well, first of all, I probably wouldn't do well in any of them, but if I was to be in any of these challenges, like how bad would I do? This one, I would just completely lose my shit. I would not be able to, hold. I would not be able to think straight just with the pressure that was physical pressure that was like on their shoulders, as well as like walking through the water, and that tires you out, and then you have people yelling, and if Ninja and Ashley were screaming at me, I just don't know how I would react. So a pretty hard challenge this week, I would say.
Yeah, definitely a hard challenge. I like that it was something different. I do feel like the challenges this season feel kind of small in scale. So I like the idea of it, but I wish there was maybe another step or something where really the order of the teams could have changed. Didn't feel like that was going to happen at any point, so it ended up feeling like an inevitability. But I liked the idea more so than some of the other challenges we've had in other weeks.
Yeah, and I just like I said, putting myself in their headspace, watching the relic fall off over and over and over and over and over again, the amount of frustration that would be going through my body at that time, I just cannot even imagine how I would react. I can tell you that I wouldn't react in the way that Zach or Jordan did by splashing water on my teammates and screaming at them, but I would definitely not be too happy. So I mean, we talk a lot on these podcasts about some of these guys like Zach or Jordan. I think we were saying a lot last week about how sometimes we're just kind of watching for the TV, for the characters, for the games or whatever, and you kind of forget who these people are maybe outside of the game. But then episodes like this kind of remind you who some of these people are outside of the game, because they bring it inside of the game, and you see people like Tori who are trying to be like, this guys, I promise this isn't Jordan. This is just Jordan in a challenge environment. So I guess that's for you as a whole, all of us to figure out who we think Jordan actually is, if it's just Challenger Jordan that's coming out and going crazy here. But there was a lot of big egos and a lot of yelling this week.
Yeah, I mean, when you even have, Tori saying like, "Oh, Jordan on challenges, I hate Jordan on challenges." It's like, "Oh, me too." So definitely the most relatable I've found Tori in a while. But I just Jordan, like I said, it all has, reignited. Arguing with Turbo is definitely not going to help if we're already on the downswing. So it's going more and more negative. I just felt like this episode, as a whole, was even though. Like I said, you saw Turbo maybe push him first or be the one who held the grudge longer. I mean, maybe it's my bias for Turbo, obviously, but I felt like it was very negative overall for Jordan.
It was, and I mean, I guess we'll like dive deeper into how all of this played out as we go along. But I do also just kind of want to bring it up at the top here about how we were talking last week about the editing of the show and just how that's been progressing. And I really like how it feels like they've been separating the season somewhat into like individual players' storylines as they come up. Which I mean, maybe that's not like a groundbreaking, way to tell a story on a TV show, but it just I'm noticing it a lot more this season. Maybe just because we're podcasting about it every week. But last week they were telling stories, or they were telling it from the perspective of Nani and Leroy, and now we're getting into Tori and Jordan and Turbo, and I guess Zach a little bit. So we're kind of just transitioning to see where everybody's at in the game. Obviously, that kind of leaves out some of the other people that are, on the more quieter end. I mean, we get little bits of Jenny here, or I mean, not even I'm saying like I'm looking at the board right now, Esther and Idris, like who at this point are they? They're just not even on the show. So we're getting some of the main character stories, not getting some of the minor character stories at all. But the point being, it's not the Paulie and Kara show every week like it felt like it was last season. It's not just this one storyline that we're just being dragged along with for the entire season, which then again, it was the Pauly and Kara story this week, but we'll get to that. So that's my thoughts on the editing.
Yeah, probably. I think that has to do a lot with three of the biggest names going home in the first 3 weeks, where they're not eating up as much screen time as they probably would be otherwise. And even, I mean, if you look at it's a shot that I've seen over and over, there was like the Times Square ads for the challenge this year. And the main faces were like Bananas and Laurel. And then Turbo, who, like we've said, he's not gonna get a ton of screen time until the end when he's about to win, and then Georgia and Theo. So really, they're putting a lot of stock into these new faces. They're not necessarily going to be like, as much as I want Ashley to be getting all of the screen time, they're just not going to do that. So I'm excited to see the wealth of the edit spread around a little more.
Remember a couple seasons ago when it was the Times Square ads were like Bananas on one side and Corey on the other,
mm-hmm.
and then Corey was like the first/second
yeah,
boot
legitimately go. The first
literally yeah the first one to leave the challenge
yeah
so those ads mean absolutely nothing. So if you're one of those people who like wait to draft until like right before the season starts, you know, luckily we kind of figured with this season that, you know, it's better to draft before they leave for filming, which I don't know if we'll be able to do this time because they're leaving soon and the season's not over. But don't look at the Times Square ads if you want any kind of like help in picking your draft team. That's not a good idea. And then also, if we remember later, should probably talk about the 35 cast, which is leaving soon. And like somebody I just mentioned, Corey might be on it. So some interesting stuff coming up in the future. But for now, we'll talk about this episode here, which opens up with the guy that we were just talking about, Turbo. He is, oh, I'm getting a phone call. I got to decline that. And I'm getting another phone call. No, how do I stop? How do I like block a number while I'm,
I don't know if that's necessarily
on Do Not Disturb before we,
I thought you said you were going to. It doesn't seem like you figured out the new phone yet.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, if anyone's interested, I just got an iPhone 11, upgraded from the 7. And, you know, I've been playing around. I've literally not put it down much since I got it. Today at work, I was literally just on it the entire time. I was doing work stuff. But I just like could not, I just can't put it down. I don't know why. I think it's a phone. I don't know why I'm pretending like I'm holding like gold in my hand, but it's just fun to play with. So anyway, we start this episode with Nani and Turbo. If anybody forgot, they were partners last season. When they were in the first half of the season, we had the pairs were together and it was Nani and Turbo, and they were kind of quiet early on. It wasn't really until they broke up in the game, you know, all the teams split apart, that we started to see a lot more from Turbo. So it sounds like now that Nani's friends are all gone, she, you know, feels close with Leroy, but, you know, she, I guess even after last week, she doesn't feel 100% with him. So she's coming to Turbo like, dude, you're my only friend and I need you.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned because I don't even see much of these two on social media outside of, you know, around this week. So I wasn't sure what the status of their relationship was. I mean, easy to forget that they were on the same team since Turbo pretty much was the reason why Nani got eliminated in that elimination last season. So I was surprised we had seen nothing from them. But to see Turbo saying basically like, Nani is my family, I want to get this win for her, like she needs to be a champion. So excited to see, as much as I was saying I don't necessarily need Nani back every season, this is one relationship that I'm going to enjoy more so.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been saying, we don't get a lot of Turbo storylines, we don't get a lot of Turbo relationships. So to see anybody say like, you know, we're seeing like the human side of Turbo's relationships, because it's you know, we spend the rest of the episode watching him just angry, go off at Jordan and just be a big ball of rage. So it's nice to see at the beginning of this episode here that there are people who genuinely like the guy, care about him and you know, relate to him on a human level. And it's not just, you know, he's not just there to play the game. People are, you know, at least Nani is finding comfort in him being around. So enjoyed seeing that. And we're also checking in a little bit with some of the couples that are just chilling out on the couch, you know, Bear and Georgia. We're going to see a little bit of them at the beginning of this episode, some more later on, right before we're eventually going to, you know, I don't think we even said it at this point, but we're going to lose Bear this episode. And we're going to see a little bit of where we are leaving off with Bear and Georgia before he's going to leave the house. So I don't know about you, but I can't believe these two are still going back to each other.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, later on, like Georgia, even to leave the door open, like, a crack is too much. Let's close it out. Like both and entertaining characters, but definitely not the couple that I'm rooting for. But even less so, you get Josh saying like, "Oh, I just can't help it. Like, I'm so jealous. I want to be all over her." Like, "Oh, please don't." We saw that last week. It was not cute. So, I really Georgia needs to find a new showmance. Ready for the third option that comes along.
It's so weird. I mean, and also let me say that I don't know like what I literally just saw this like right before we started recording that apparently there was some kind of like big Georgia versus Bear fight that was left out of the episode. I saw this on Twitter. I have no idea what it was about, and I wish I had more time to like look into it, but I forgot. Like I said, it was so brief that I saw it. But apparently there was like a bigger fight that was left out. I don't know if it was from like last week or a couple weeks ago, because obviously there was like the whole thing where Bear was like making out with Kaylee during Spin the Bottle, and I don't know if that's what caused the fight or what. So hopefully we can find out some more about that, and we'll maybe be able to talk about it next week. But I don't know, and I can't imagine why they would have edited it out. I know that there's been some stuff going around with both Georgia and Bear in terms of like internet controversy, but I can't imagine that made them edit a fight out of a show. I don't know what that could have been about.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that was the reason why they would edit out. Hopefully, if they end up on Challenge Mania, if they're not on season 35, they'll spill what happened there. But I can't imagine that it ultimately. I understand that, like, it's obviously I haven't seen anything about it, but just knowing these two, even if it was a big serious fight in the moment, they just don't seem like the type that's going to hold on to that, 5 minutes from then. So, assuming that we got to the point where they were at during this episode, at least, seems like it probably blew over pretty fast.
Can you imagine Stephen Bear on a podcast?
I don't remember if he made an appearance at any
I
point.
don't think so. We would definitely remember if that had happened, right?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. Something would have been said that he wouldn't be coming back on next season.
Yes, if apparently we don't shout out the wrap up enough. So I'm pretty sure I've done that a hundred times by now. So if you're not listening to Brian and Allie over on the wrap ups, I don't know why. But I also like to plug the Challenge Mania every once in a while. If there's anybody listening to us that doesn't know about Challenge Mania, Scott Yeager and Derek Kaczynski, Derek from The Challenge, that you guys, if you've been watching for a while, you know Derek. If you haven't been watching for a while, you might not know him. He hasn't been on since season 30. We're now on 34. But either way, so yeah, Scott and Derek, they do a podcast with a bunch of these. The players come on all the time. They talk to them. So that's always a lot of fun. And now I'm just imagining Bear being on with them. And I mean, it's always funny enough listening to Scott try to like, reel Derek back in when Derek goes off track. So to imagine Bear and Derek potentially both being on the same podcast is just a dream come true, and I hope that happens one day.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure Scott will have plenty of editing to do, but and we'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll be getting the stories eventually.
Yes. So while we wait for that, Jordan, as we mentioned earlier, he's having a pretty big episode, but it's going to start off with something that's kind of minor and irrelevant. But he's not very happy that he has to clean everybody's dishes, which I want to say that I can relate to, but I also don't think I can relate to because I like cleaning so much. As you probably know this from us being in a bunch of Airbnbs together over the past few years, I just don't mind cleaning. I don't know why. I just don't. I don't want to. I'm not gonna openly invite everybody. Hey, leave out your stuff and I'll clean it up for you, which might be what ends up happening if this take spreads like wildfire. But I mean, it's not that hard and it's not that bad. You're just putting some stuff in the garbage and moving some water and soap around on a plate. So I don't know what Jordan's problem is with that.
See, personally hate cleaning, but feel too bad to let anyone else do it. Now that I know that you enjoy it, I will leave it all to you. But it's funny because I'm pretty sure we had this exact same storyline with Jordan in like Rivals 3 or something, where he was pissed that people were leaving like peanut butter open around all over and there were bugs. So this is something that's not new territory for Jordan. He gets pissed because everyone's dirty, and you get like, oh, he's just like, quote, has to focus every day on not being an asshole. So if you have to force yourself to not be one, then like maybe you just are one.
And I'm so like fascinated by like by his tone of voice and by the way he was like having this conversation. I don't know if it's because Tori is able to calm him down or what, because I feel like if, in the past, him being upset about this, he would be yelling at somebody. He would be, and not to say he's not going to yell at somebody, you know, in this exact episode, but just the way he's like conveying his frustration about this, he's talking to Tori, and he's just so calm and he's like, I just have to understand that people don't live with the same consideration rules that I do. And it's just something that I have to live with. And I don't know, his, like, just the way that he was speaking about it was throwing me off a little bit. But then again, it also seems like maybe he is not hiding it as well as I might think he is, mm-hmm. because we also hear from Cam and Kara who are saying that, you know, it's pretty obvious that Jordan's been pissed off lately. So who knows what's been going on with them. This is the first time we're really checking in with Jordan this season.
What I would say is it seems like Jordan has found out what a lot of people will say is as soon as you start yelling, you lose the argument, which Jordan has taken to mean, oh, so I should be incredibly condescending instead, and that will be fine. Because you can just hear in the tone, like, it's so arrogant in just terms of, like, I mean, later in the episode, he's like, oh, I'll just tell Turbo, pronounce my name right. Call me daddy. Like, okay, calm down. I get it. Like, it's a funny line. Like, funny. If you want to. Yeah, no, that's fine. But like, you can even hear like in his tone, like it's not like he's mad. He's like mad and trying not to yell and thinking that he's coming off better. But it's like, you're still coming off like an asshole. You're just not, you just think you're better than someone at the same time.
Right. And, you know, this is obviously very frustrating for Tori. She's, you know, we've been tracking Tori for the past couple of seasons as she's really fun in the confessionals, or at least in my opinion. I know a lot of people don't share that opinion, or a couple people don't. But she, I want to say, like, has never really had a strong, like, consistent storyline on the show that's kind of like locked her in as a player and given her a purpose. You know, the first season that she was on, she made the final and she was doing really well. So we kind of followed her as she was just a rookie that was, you know, making her way in the game, kind of attaching herself to Kayla and Jenna a little bit. And then, you know, because she's been kind of skipping it every other season, she came back with Derek H. And obviously we saw how that went. That was just terrible. And now she's here. She's got, you know, her boyfriend of 2 years with her, who is also like a well-known challenge competitor. So we finally have something that we can like dig into with Tori. Like, we finally have a story that she's able to tell that's about her. So what's going on here is just that, you know, she's been living with Jordan for 2 years and she has never really been on a challenge with him as a full, like, as a couple together. And now that this is the first time they're doing it, she has a line about how, she said that she hated him before she loved him. And now she's kind of remembering things that like made her, hate him in the first place. I think the love that they've built up over the last year, this sounds so cheesy, is enough to like not make that a big issue for her, because she knows that like, this isn't him at home, I guess. I don't really know. I'm sure we're going to get some more of the two of them to come, but there's a lot to try to understand of where Tori's coming from this season.
Well, I think she actually lays it out pretty well in this scene when she says, I think it's to Ashley, when she says something like, there is no perfect relationship. There's no like right one. There's not one person. You pick someone and you choose to work with it. And I think that probably is like a very healthy viewpoint and like something that's good. But at the same time, like, just because you pick someone and then there are, you know, giant red flags does not mean you have to accept it ultimately forever. So if, like she says, Jordan is, you know, amazing in the outside world, then great. But seeing how he is in these types of stressors, it's just, I can't imagine it never comes up. So hoping that Tori, you know, has it all figured out and is great and awesome, because like you've said, I was someone who during Are You the One and Are You the One Second Chances found Tori to be really enjoyable. But then as soon as she made it to the challenge, yeah, I liked her, but she didn't have any solid storyline for me to grab onto. And so I thought, yeah, she's okay in the confessionals, but she's not Davon or Jemmy or whoever else. So I'm not at the same level as everyone else is. So while she's part of a storyline with someone who I don't find very very likable at the moment. I did like her influence on him later in the episode.
For sure. So we'll get to all of the rest of that, because there's obviously all that's going to be coming up. But before we get to the challenge, we're also going to check in with Turbo and CT, who we've been talking about here and there for the past couple of weeks. They're in kind of the same spot. They're both in the middle of their team, because there's alliances on the US and the UK team. You know, both of these guys came in as was it a reinforcement? There's so many different names for the people that
reinforcements.
Yeah, they all get like lost in my head. The mercenaries, the reinforcements, whatever. So they, you know, they were the reinforcements at the beginning of the season that ended up on the teams that they are on. All four reinforcements still in the game. I'm not sure if that's something that we need to track in any way. Probably not. I mean, they were placed on their teams, and I think they just called it a day. But all four of them are still in the game, and we just check in with these two guys, and you know, they're both kind of in the same spot. So you know, this episode progresses. Pretty okay for CT, as he, you know, he we'll see later on that he kind of has to pick a side, but ultimately, like, he's in nowhere near the position that Turbo's in, just in terms of like raising his threat level, I guess. But you know, it sounds like they're starting off and just kind of trying to come to an understanding, or help each other out, I should say, you know, as they're getting ready for the challenge. So the challenge that we are about to see.
Okay. Just going to say on the CT Turbo real quick, it was funny because, I mean, the first real scene that we get of Turbo, you know, going into the house, it's CT and Turbo, like, slowly, like, you know, walking, like, behind the, like, crazy group of kids running up to the house, and you have CT and Turbo, like, slowly making their way in, and it hasn't really clicked for me where, like, these two are the ones who, when they're calm, they're extremely calm. They're not getting involved in the drama. They're, you know, just chilling out. And then when they lose it, as seen, you know, CT a couple episodes ago and Turbo on this episode, it is, you know, off the meter, absolutely uncontrollable. So seeing this duo in particular, like, I very much enjoyed and would like to see more of.
Yeah, if we were the challenger hap up and we played a drinking game, and if they were listening to this and they were ever going to hear us, here's my suggestion. Take a drink anytime that somebody tells CT that they are just like him, or that they're the next him, or that somebody said that they're just like him. We saw it last season with Gus. Now Turbo is kind of, you know, finding comfort in CT as somebody who's in a similar role in the house. And then later on, we have Rogan come up to CT and he's like, "Hey, I'm just like you. I'm trustworthy. I'm not going to backstab anybody." I can't imagine what CT's thinking with all these people coming up to him and like trying to compare themselves to a guy with the story and the legacy that CT has. This is Rogan's second season, pretty much his first season. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm just like you."
Yeah, that Rogan one, I'll have more to say later, but I was like, what? Because he's using it to campaign to him, and it's like, oh, what part of CT are you just like exactly?
Right. Is it the stripper part? Is it the part where you're making out with D? I mean, it's not like CT hasn't made out with a person on the challenge before, but yeah, I'm not really seeing the comparison there. But yeah, I guess we can talk about that later. So the challenge is... is it Resilient River Run, I think is what I wrote down?
Named challenge.
I'm just looking at it. I'm like, did I miss the word relic? Because I feel like, you know, obviously there was a relic in this challenge and there's a relic in every challenge this season. I guess they ordered a couple hundred of them and needed to find a way to work them into every challenge. So we talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, the teams have to put together a puzzle with a relic on top. They have to walk down this river, whatever you want to call it, and get the relics both placed on their stands, and then karate chop them both off the stands, and then that is the way that the team wins, which Turbo ends up helping the US win by karate chopping his teams off, and then Jordan gets mad. I think that's what happened, right?
Yeah, basically they get the UK team struggles, like Theo's height's a big disadvantage because can't have all the bars at the same level. This is where you get like Zach splashing ninja, Jordan screaming, like just cursing out so many of his teammates. And you get like Pauly as the voice of reason here being like, "I just don't understand why everyone's such a hothead." It's like, did you see when you tried to flip a pool table an episode ago? So it was an interesting scene. As far as Turbo, you know, kicking the relic, it's they're all done. And they're all like, I don't know, standing around. Like, I don't know. There's a weird line that I don't know if it was meant to be left in or what. But so Turbo, you know, doing typical Turbo things, is just practicing martial arts moves and ends up like kicking the relics off the stands, putting them back, kicking them off. And you get Ninja like, "Respect the relics." And Jordan's echoing the same thing, gets super mad. And that's where we get this huge fight.
It literally reminded me of like, I felt like I was on the kindergarten playground and I was, you know, you just, there's that kid in your class that's just doing something annoying, and you're like, stop doing that. Like, don't do that. And then they keep doing it because they know it's making you mad. And you're going to continue getting mad because they know what they're doing and they're getting inside your head. They're making you mad because they're not, Turbo wasn't doing anything to harm anybody. I don't know why it was such a big deal that he was kicking a couple relics. CT is making it very clear. Turbo does this kind of stuff all the time. I don't know why it's a problem for anybody. The, you know, people are running around screaming at each other. Ashley's yelling at Ninja and Paulie's yelling, whoever, everybody's yelling at each other. And Turbo's just over there minding his own business, kicking a couple things up and down, and apparently he's being disrespectful. Jordan is very much getting worked up because of this for whatever reason, and it turns into what it turns into. Turbo comes running around. Jordan kind of gets in his face first. Well, definitely gets in his face first, and Turbo's not having that. So, you know, Turbo shoves him out of the way. Tori jumps in, and that's, you know, what leads. That's the beginning of this entire, you know, feud or rivalry or whatever you want to call it between these two, which we did flag up last week that there was something going on social media. Obviously, we saw this week. There's a lot of bad blood between these two guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was so weird because first, I don't understand the respect of the relic, where that came from all of a sudden. I mean, it's a styrofoam prop. I don't know where that's coming from. It's weird that relics are like so such a focus of the season, but we don't have anything like the, you know, a grenade and just call it the relic and have someone who wins an elimination gain a power. Don't know why that was never thought of, but sure. And so it seems like that was, you know, Ninja and Jordan at first, and then Jordan drops a line something like we'll have to shoot them again or something. So I don't know if it's like it's going to cause reshoots because they need to like get the relics up on the thing and have the team strategizing in the background or something along those lines. And so Jordan's mad that they're keeping them out there for longer. It was just like a weird line that I didn't know. Right. Maybe that's what they were actually annoyed about, less so than Turbo's not taking this seriously and not respecting, like I said, respecting a styrofoam head when Jordan shows it, under 5% of his cast members more respect than he shows this piece of plastic. So I don't understand exactly what escalated it, but it happened quickly.
Right. And like I said, while this is all going on, there's other fighting between everybody else on the team. We saw the stuff going on with Ninja, where Ashley tried in the beginning to be the person that was out in front. She was using her cheerleading skills from, you know, earlier on in life to get everybody all on the same path. I mean, what's Ashley really going to be doing to help the team? And not Ashley in specific, but like, if you took out any one person from that, you know, that was holding up the big, whatever you want to call that, you know, it's not really going to make a huge difference. So I think it was a great idea to have somebody out in front kind of guiding people, because not everybody can see where they're going or what's going on. So I thought that was a great spot for Ashley to be in. She's got a loud voice, but then somehow she ended up back underneath the thing, the big puzzle, and Ninja goes out in front, and Ninja's generally not the voice that you want to hear. In many ways, a lot of people get annoyed by her easily just talking to her, probably back at the house, let alone screaming at them during a challenge. So yeah, that was probably never going to go well. But we saw the way that it all played out. And then back, you know, when they finished the challenge, Ashley and Ninja are screaming at each other, or no, they weren't screaming at each other, but they were being pretty like petty and passive aggressive with each other about, you know, the right way to do it or the wrong way to do it. And Ashley is just pretty much saying Ninja does not know how to play as a team. You know, she can climb this, do that. She's great as an individual, but she's not really getting this game.
Yeah, it's funny if you looked at like coming into the season and you told me that everyone wants to take like Ashley as their leader and listen to her, you know, giving them directions over Ninja. Kind of surprising because I didn't think there was so much love for Ashley, but glad to see that she's ingratiated herself back in with these people. I don't think Ninja knows who she's dealing with when she's yelling at Ashley. Definitely back down, but I mean, yeah, just Ninja as
saw
much
her go
as...
home. Ninja saw Ashley go home first or second last year, first. Mm-hmm. So she's, I mean, I'm sure Ninja's like studied some tapes and talked to some people to know what's going on. It's not like she
Did
doesn't
she?
Know. Or, okay, at the very least, you know, she's had plenty of time to talk to Paulie and Kara, and she knows, you know, who Ashley is. But she's starting to learn who Ashley is. And that's not somebody you want to be on the wrong side of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she did witness, you know, Ashley with Theo last season getting in that 8 mile fight. So I definitely she's seen Ashley come out. I don't know why she's challenging this. Maybe time to calm down. Turbo, like we've said, goes absolutely wild. Says some words I wouldn't be super thrilled about. But given that he English is a second language, and also that I obviously do not know Turkish culture as well, going to be a little easier on him, as I don't know the exact scenario that he's coming from. But overall, Team US for winning is an absolute shit show.
Yeah, I also kind of don't want to say the things that Turbo was saying.
No,
I
wouldn't say them either.
You guys know what he said, and it was funny to hear him say it. And, you know, if you want to hear it played back, it'll sound a lot funnier coming out of Turbo's mouth than it will out of either of ours. So you know what he said. That's, you know, we'll let him hold on to those words. But yeah, what was I going to say? Ninja, I don't know. I mean, this obviously wasn't like a big episode in terms of where she's at in the game or her or anything going on, but we just continue to see that she's, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me to see that she's like tight with Cara Maria. Cara Maria is somebody who over her entire challenge career has been, you know, people hate me and I don't really get why. I'm just kind of me. I'm just myself. I'm a weirdo, but that's just me. And then people are like, Cara's so annoying. She's fake and blah, blah, blah. Ninja is getting the exact same story treatment. Like everybody is responding to Ninja in the exact same way. So to see that the two of them are like friends and, you know, obviously they have the Pauly connection because Ninja and Pauly were partners last season, but just not surprised to see that that's a thing. And I imagine if Ninja continues doing challenges, that's going to continue to be a number firmly in Kara's pocket.
Yeah, I have not thought of that comparison, but I really do like it. I completely see how people do get annoyed at Ninja seemingly in the same way they do with Cara. Given Kara's track record of holding allies for more than two or three seasons, I don't know if I'm ready to commit that it's going to be long lasting, but I could see it being more so than probably any of the other allies she has at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's 100% a scenario where I could see somebody pouring. What was the drink that Wes poured on Cara? I mean, was it just like anything special or?
I think it was just like Dr. Pepper drink, or something like that. Yeah.
I could definitely see a drink being poured over Ninja's head by Zach or by literally anybody on their team, just because that's how they do the challenge. And that's acceptable behavior to them. So yeah, we'll see what, you know, when that happens for Ninja. But still, you know, we have the Jordan and Turbo fight going on. This is where Jordan starts the I'm your daddy. And Turbo's like, you are not my dad. You are not my boss. In his very thick accent, he's fuming. It's like almost a little scary to see this, or it's actually a lot of scary. You know, Leroy's like, there's two people, if there's anybody you don't mess with in the challenge, the first one's Turbo, the second one's Turbo, the third one, Turbo. So, you know, it's pretty clear to everybody watching and everybody in the house that Turbo's not somebody you want to get mad, but the one person I think out of anybody on the challenge in the challenge history that's not afraid of Turbo, it's Jordan. So that's, you know, we've got to, you know, see how that's going to progress.
Mm-hmm. And, definitely think Leroy underrated Ashley as someone to be scared of also, but like you've said, Jordan's ego just not going to allow him to be scared of anyone, so ready to get right in Turbo's face.
I mean, is there anybody else that you can think of that would like go at it with Turbo? I'm looking at the chart here. Maybe Bear would not be afraid to get loud with anybody, but I don't know what Bear and Turbo would get in an argument over, unless Turbo's trying to come make out with Georgia, which I mean Bear wouldn't even care about. So I don't know. I don't see anybody that I think besides mm-hmm. Jordan would really end up getting in Turbo's face.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a CT back in the day, maybe, but anyone on this current cast, I don't think it's happening.
Maybe if like next season Josh feels like he's not in a good spot and he wants to ensure his spot for the season after that, he'll go after Turbo, because he, I mean, Josh really isn't afraid of anybody. You know, he'll scream in literally anyone's face. If you're going after CT, I mean, I know CT's older and not so intimidating anymore, but I'm still not yelling at him on the first day of a challenge. So maybe Josh is a candidate that would.
I think that Josh could be, you know, manipulated, or no one's manipulating Josh, but Josh could be pushed in the direction gently that could happen. But I really think that he's going to have to provoke Turbo to, and I don't think that's going to happen ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, can everybody just leave Turbo alone? I don't
understand. I agree.
I don't know why we have to be doing this. So the way that things are going to shake out, everybody kind of calms down a little bit. Mr. Voice of Reason, Zach, is going to come in and say, Turbo wants to be the speaker, but that's not happening. I'll do it. I'll be the speaker. I'll make sure that we're good here. Because if Turbo, you know, decided, if he was the speaker, I guess maybe that was the plan going into this. He's definitely picking Well, I don't know who he's exactly picking, but he's picking people that he thinks are going to help him vote Jordan in. It seems like he's the only one out of literally everybody on the team that would have considered putting in their own teammate because everybody else is on the same page. But ultimately, Zach kind of takes matters into his own hands and pulls in one from each side. Would have been pretty funny to see the tribunal be Jordan, Turbo, and Zach, but he pulls in Tori, which I guess is the second best option, and that's where we're going to go from here.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe Turbo was the option before because they say something like, oh, he didn't even want it before, so maybe it was forced upon him, but definitely a good move to keep it out of his hands. You would think that you would try to take people who were not involved in these conflicts, but given that the whole team was screaming in each other's faces, I guess they settled on taking two people from opposite sides of an argument and ultimately made for a fun boat ride a little later.
Right, and I mean, so we get back to the house and we see, like, initially, Turbo's reaction, his gut reaction to say who he's going to be putting into the elimination if he has his pick, he says Jordan. And, you know, that's going to stick for the majority of the episode. He's saying, I'm saying Jordan, even if it's a burn vote. I don't care. I'm saying Jordan. And then you have people like Josh come up and they're like, you can't throw in members of your own team. That's so bad. And I think Paulie gets confessionals like this and Kara gets confessionals like this. And it's like, every single one of them stands out just because, what did you guys just do? Like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you literally just did this. And I know that they're trying to say, like, well, we're putting the past in the past and we're moving forward as a strong, happy team trying to make the final all together. But it's still, like, hard to not notice the hypocritical things that they're saying in terms of, like, how dare you suggest putting in somebody from your own team? Like, we are not doing that.
Yeah, it's weird because, okay, so not to jump too far ahead, but, like, you have them all talking about this, and especially, like, at the bar night, like, Kara is, like, super indignant. Like, how could anyone even think of this? It's like, you just orchestrated getting bananas out literally, like, a week ago, probably in real time. So let's not act holier than thou. But I understand doing it in person where you're strategizing and trying to make it look like you're so loyal, but to have the confessionals is a weird move. So I don't understand that point of view from someone like Kara.
Yeah, and we definitely see the reactions on social media from some of those players who have been taken out so far. I feel like I've definitely seen a Wes and a Bananas tweet every week, every time that somebody's made those comments. Like, you guys serious? You know, I'm sitting home because of you right now. So, you know, not going unnoticed, but we're going to move on and we're going to get towards the portion of this episode where the UK for the 100th time is about to pick a person from their own team that's going to go into elimination. It is a guy's elimination day. So, let me run through the options real quick that they could potentially throw in. We have Theo, we have Kyle, we have CT, we have Jordan, Idris, and Rogan, and Bear, who's grayed out, so I passed right over him. Those are the guys that could go in. Obviously, we've been talking about there's two sides. The Theo and Bear side already took a hit when Nicole ended up going in last week and was ended up being taken out of the game. If Nicole comes back in the game, actually, no, that doesn't mean anything because both of them were pretty much a number on that side. So they kind of lose a number either way, but whatever it is, Bear is going to end up getting voted in. We have CT and Idris, who are kind of like the swing votes. They pretty much acknowledge that they don't know which way to go. They don't know which way is best. It seems like nobody on the UK is really, it's no surprise that none of them are, like, at the strategic level as some of the US players who have been doing this for years and years, but none of them are really pitching to CT, I guess, in the way that he is feeling so comfortable with. He's saying to them, you guys are friends. You're going to go to the final together. If we get all the way to the end and you need to cut one more person, it's going to be me. And pretty much no one's convincing me otherwise. So I don't understand what you guys don't get, but you need to do that or I'm not going to vote on your side. And I don't think anyone did that, but he had to vote. So,
well, the only person, like you sent me like a screenshot of an Instagram post where Rogan is commenting on like cast members from 10 years ago on their Instagrams because he needs to, be good with everyone. So even before the deliberation, you have Rogan and D, and this is where he's saying that he's just like CT. And so CT's like, everyone on this team is besties and not me. And Rogan's like, oh, I thought we were besties. It's like, what? No, you didn't. Like, stop. It's completely transparent. It's see-through. Like, it's not, like, good. Like, be straight up. He's not dumb. Just, you know, be, look, I understand it's threatening, blah, 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 but 100%, like, I want to make you number three with us, me, Joss, you, like, done. And, like, campaign to him, like, normal, but it, Rogan, I know some people don't love him, but I've very much been enjoying because it seems like he doesn't know fully how to play this game yet, but he's trying very hard, and he's a new personality, so I'm enjoying that. I mean, you get dumb stuff like Rogan says, like, I just can't believe that my team's trying to, and Kyle's like, it's not your team. Like, okay, that's not literally what he was saying, Kyle. Calm down over there. Kyle's screaming. So this is, as much as the U.S. team fell apart after they won the challenge, Team UK is not far behind a couple minutes later in this episode.
Yeah, and as fun as it is to see Kyle, like, you know, having his Rogan meltdowns in the confessionals, that's literally what we live for. That's the only thing that we, I mean, I think we've all kind of grown to love Kyle, but that's just like the number one best Kyle moments on any season of the challenge, just him yelling about Rogan. And it's, you know, he's obviously hoping that Rogan's gonna go in this time. It pretty much, like, I mean, I guess I will jump ahead. When we saw the decision that the team that Team US finally made, I was not surprised, but I was surprised that I didn't think of it sooner, that they were going to do that, because why would they throw in Rogan? They, you know, this guy was the first person out of his original season because he didn't even finish the first challenge because he had a physical, you know, he had a spasm in his back, and that, you know, took him out. So obviously people are looking at him like he's not the strongest player. You have a guy like Joss who just made a final and almost won his season 2 seasons ago. So of course they're going to put in a stronger player. I don't know why, for, you know, I think I just let Kyle do all the talking, and he was just getting in my head thinking that Rogan was definitely going in. So when that didn't happen, I was just completely thrown off.
Yeah, definitely makes a lot more sense. I mean, you look at Rogan and you think, like, wow, definitely one of the strongest guys on the team. And I don't really feel like he's necessarily proven that. Looking at the team, at least, you know, aesthetically, you think, like, oh, wow, there's really not too many weak links here. But I don't know. I mean, CT says he's happy to run the final with everyone. But maybe that's because, you know, CT in his older age is maybe the weakest runner on the team. So doesn't want to highlight that anyone else would be bad in the final. It's interesting because I definitely predicted Joss would be, you know, MVP of this team, and Team US seemed to recognize that as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to be MVP of any team that's like the UK's team when they're just a mess and they can't win any
very
challenge.
Fair.
So, like, you know, you can give credit to people on the US team, somebody like Jordan or somebody like, I don't know, I guess Zach in this episode, the people who are like the stronger players on the team that are helping them win challenges. Ashley, you know, was doing her best in the challenge this week. That are, you know, we're seeing a lot more of the good things that those guys are doing rather than the UK team. It's just like, all right, here's them falling apart week after week after week. And, you know, that's where the UK team is heading. So eventually CT and Idris are going to vote for Bear. I don't know that either of them were confident that it was the best decision. I think they were just kind of at a point where it was like, all right, well, maybe, you know, the numbers are with the Joss and Rogan side, so let's just go with them and hope for the best. Because, you know, is there any other factor that I'm missing here? Why one decision was better than the other?
No, not like in particular. I think in the event this were to, the teams were to break up eventually, I think that the Bear, Theo, Georgia side probably have better relations on the other side, so you probably don't want them all linking back up. So maybe that, you know, a feather on the scale in terms of which side you end up going with. But I think ultimately they've just been voting with that side for the last couple weeks. It's not worth rocking the boat when it's ultimately, you know, pretty 50-50.
Yeah, so I mean, it's Rogan's performance here, I want to call it a performance, at this deliberation is pretty memorable. I don't know, you know, however his season ends, like, this is going to be what I remember him by, for now at least. I mean, obviously there's the whole, all the stuff going on with D, but just the picture of him, like pretty much like a puppy dog begging everybody, like, please, please, you wouldn't do that to me. Like, the way that they were describing it, and just, he was like about to get on his hands and knees. I mean, I think they're sitting down at that table. But if he could, he would have been on his knees, just begging for those votes. He was not wanting to go down. I don't know if he was legitimately terrified or if he knew what he was doing and trying to play the game. It's hard to tell. I mean, he's such a, he's a goofy guy. He's not really like the, you know, the strategic person on the season. So, you know, it's hard to tell what he was actually going for there, but it was effective. And, you know, people were making fun of him on the show. Like, they were saying, like, all right, he's such a big baby. He won't go down and, like, go into one elimination. You know, everybody else pretty much has. You know, they proved themselves at least once. They're like, this is the proving ground. Go prove yourself and come back. And if you can't, then you shouldn't be here. But the smart thing to do is to always keep yourself out of elimination. And he was able to do that.
Yeah, 100% right. You said Rogan isn't the strategy guy, but he's trying to be. So big ups for that. Whatever you got to do, stay out of those eliminations. It's one of like Wes's strategies that he's, you know, said forever. Like, I don't care how I am, but I'm not going in. Like, it doesn't matter. So Rogan, you know, ultimately has the right idea. Don't care if I have to get on my hands and knees. Don't know how that's going to affect yeah, how you look for the next couple seasons. But at least for this one, avoid elimination at all costs.
Yeah, that worked out really well for Wes this season.
In the past.
Right. So we're, you know, the Team UK is going to head out. We have Bear sitting there with the Tribunal, and Turbo is pretty much still set on, nope, I'm still saying Jordan's name. Zach and Tori realize that this is, and that's probably something that we should talk about, but they're still trying to convince Turbo to say, like, just vote with us. Like, you have to do the right thing for the team. This is not the right thing. What you're thinking is just, you need to let it go, blah, blah, blah. And you know, we're going to get into more of that with the boat ride, but I'm surprised that they were pushing so hard when Turbo's vote didn't matter. Unless I'm missing something. Like, obviously Turbo was upset, and you know, in an ideal world, you want the team to be all together and voting the same way. But what does it really hurt if you know that the two of you are voting for the same person? Like, why are we so upset that Turbo's going to put one vote on Jordan?
I feel like this team has deluded themselves so much into thinking that they are actually like Team US strong.
Right. They think they're in the Olympics. Like,
mm-hmm. And so when you have Turbo, who I would say is lightly, you know, leaning towards the Pauly Kara side, but still is, you know, has good relationships with someone like Nani on the other side, you don't want that first stone thrown, regardless of who it's coming from. Because as soon as he does that, then Jordan wants to take, you know, the shot back, but Pauly's not okay with it. And then boom, we're all at war with Team US again.
Right. So, you know, Turbo's not happy. And it's hard to say at this point. I think at this point, I still felt pretty sure that he was going to say Jordan's name. And like I said, I could not really figure out why people cared so much. But, you know, we're going to go out, follow them to the club, which now that we have these 90-minute episodes, we're getting to see them go out every single week. It's kind of turning into like, I don't know if this is like my official take or if this is like a super hot take, but it's turning into like one of my least favorite segments, just because I feel like they're forcing it a little bit. Usually we used to see it like every couple of episodes whenever there was time or if something notable happened. Now it just kind of feels like it's filling space. Is that something you would agree with, or am I just, I don't know.
No, I completely do. I kind of miss like back on older seasons. I can't remember the last time this has even really happened, but they used to be stuck in the house, so they would get bored and like plan their own parties. And when you're cooped up in a house and you're not getting to go out into different environments and you're stuck with the same people, because even though they're not interacting with other people at these bars, like at least they're seeing different faces, they're getting fresh air, whatever the case may be. So they're not going quite as stir crazy at these places. Mm-hmm. And I think the element of being stuck in the house and having to force your own fun, force your own storylines, and just, you know, not have to look at the same stupid faces all day long, you are going to ultimately create more drama.
Yeah, I don't even know where they are this season. Truly don't know where this season is being filmed.
Never, ever know.
But I think they might have been at a different bar this episode, but the preview for next week, like they're at the exact same bar that they were at last episode. Ugh. So they must have like two different places that they can go to this season, and they're just going to go there every other cycle that, you know, every time that they go out, they're just switching up the bar. So that's something I'm going to keep an eye on for no other reason than I just want to see where they're at. So yeah, we have Turbo and Nani at the club that they're at, and Turbo is continuing to say that, you know, he's annoyed by this. And in a surprising twist for me, at least, Nani's standing up for Jordan and defending him.
Yeah, I don't remember them necessarily being so close on any other seasons. I'm trying to even think of the last time they were remotely working together. It doesn't come up for me. But she's saying he's a nice person. Trust me, like no one's perfect. I would say some of us have, you know, bigger flaws than others. Mm-hmm. Well, that is true. But I did like Nani here. You know, in last season we saw that, like, oh, Nani's Turbo's mom, like, she calms him down, and it was nice to see that come back, at least on this episode. You know, if we're gonna get it once this season, that's fine. So ultimately, you know, could take, if we had a 60-minute episode, definitely cut this out. Yeah. But for a 90, fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you look at it, like, the way that the Alliance split this season, it was kind of Jordan and Tori on the banana side with Nani, Leroy, and whoever else might have been there. You know, there were some people in the middle. So I guess Nani had been feeling good about Jordan. They've been working together for this for the majority of this season. I don't know where they're at now that Nani feels like she has no friends left in the house, but I don't know. Obviously, if you're working with somebody, you probably don't think that they're a completely despicable human. So, you know, she is going to kind of stand up for Jordan a little bit and say that, you know, he's not perfect. That's not really swaying Turbo that much. And neither is the boat ride that's coming up. You know, maybe it starts to a little bit. The sponsored boat ride that's coming up by a water bottle that I don't remember the name of. Do you?
It's the, like, Essentia bottle. It's like water. It's like, I've never heard. I think I've seen the bottle, but, like, I feel like people from New York are generally pretty picky about their water. I have never seen this water. I've never, like, seen anyone drinking this water.
Right. So maybe that's the problem, that I am exclusively Poland Spring and Dasani. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think about all the other waters. I mean, I know that Smart Water exists and I've had it once or twice, but, like, if I'm going to a store and getting a case of water, those are my two. And I don't see any other reason to try the other ones because I'm good with mine.
I'm a Poland Spring Smart Water guy.
Okay. Well, you know, Poland Spring, I guess. Close enough. We'll have to keep that in the Airbnb next week. So where was I? Oh, so we're on the boat, and, you know, Tori, you know, and this was, like, obviously most of the time that they have sponsored, you know, segments on the show, it is completely just filler. And this one especially felt like, I was like, we've just been talking about Turbo throwing in Jordan. And then we went to the deliberation where Turbo said, yeah, I'm throwing in Jordan. And then we went to the bar where Turbo said, yeah, I'm going to throw in Jordan. And now we're on a boat where Turbo says, yeah, I'm still throwing in Jordan. So I'm glad we could get Turbo, you know, throwing this out in as many different places as possible. You know, I don't know. I don't. That's just, you know, the magic of 90 minutes. But it seems like maybe we're making some progress here, because Tori's going to tell him, listen, we really, really, really need to get on the same page. What if Jordan apologizes to you? How do you feel about that? And Turbo's like, whatever, sure. Like, that's fine. If he apologizes to me, that's good. So, you know, I think at this point, he's just been having every single person on his team, like, beat into his head, like, just let it go. And Tori's pretty much offering a apology for Jordan, saying, listen, I'll talk to him. I'll see what we can do. So I guess that's the best way to get Turbo back on her side. And, you know, of course, we're going to see ultimately that it works out. But Tori does have her work cut out for her between Turbo and then Jordan when she gets back to the house.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, this is one of, like, you were saying, the transparent sponsorships. They must have spent all the money getting the water bottle on the show, because it was throw three people in a canoe. And I was surprised they weren't paddling themselves. But it was Tori has her work cut out for her, you know, sorting these two egos, because even if you just look at like Turbo with Ninja last season, he's not so quick to forgive, like, no matter how much you're going to be apologizing. And I feel like, yeah, Ninja probably went off for longer and he probably felt more betrayed because they were closer, but the amount that, like, Jordan and Turbo were in each other's faces, like, to the degree, I was surprised that he was at least open to working together. Mm-hmm. This quickly.
For sure. And, you know, when Tori starts to talk to Jordan back at the house, you know, we've been talking about how we're getting more about the two of them as a couple. And Tori tries to be the voice of reason. She's like, listen, you can't be yelling at people like this. And Jordan's like, yes, I can. And it's like, yep, there's Jordan. That's the Jordan we know. But
you can't scream in people's faces. Yeah, why not? Like, no. Okay.
He's like, yes, I can. And then, she's doing her best here. She's telling him, listen, you've played this season, you know, you've played this show, this game before. You know how to play as Jordan, as a single guy, but we're here as a team, we're a couple, and anything that you do affects my game, and I really need you to be paying attention to that, because it's just, you know, you're putting me in a bad spot. So Jordan kind of accepts that. You know, it seems like at first he's kind of like, oh, so this is all about you, but, like, the confessional 2 seconds later, he's like, no, seriously, like, I get it. I, you know, I want to do what's best for her. I care about her. You know, I want to make sure that we're both good. And what we don't see next is that, you know, it turns out that he is going to apologize to Turbo in a moment that, you know, another point to the editors that they kept that under wraps until the very last second as Turbo was about to say his vote. You know, he's like, well, I was going to say Jordan, and then we cut to the scene of Jordan apologizing and they shake hands and this whole mess is resolved at the moment.
Yeah, surprising. Like you said, I fully caught up on like Jordan's attitude. Like I said, he comes off condescending. And so thought the same thing as you, where did they cut something out? Because he's like, oh, so I'm playing for you now. Like I was like, is there a butt coming? But it allegedly is genuine, goes ahead and apologizes. I always love highlighting lines that are extremely hypocritical or like funny on the shows. And Jordan saying like, oh, Turbo's arrogance gets in the way of his rational thinking. Like, okay. But to see them finally, you know, get the apology out in the open, at least one good step moving forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess as of now, you know, we're going to see this, the tribunal gets to the elimination, and we already talked about the decision to put in Joss for against Rogue versus putting in Rogan instead. You know, they pick Joss. So, you know, Team US is apparently back on the same page for now. They, you know, they made their decision and Turbo voted with them. He showed, you know, he was able to forgive Jordan. Like I said, you know, who knows how that's going to continue to play out. But for the time being, they're good. And Team UK continues to fall apart, loses another member. It's funny. I mean, you see TJ, like the first thing he says to them every time, if you just like played back the clip of him talking to the Team UK, like, at the challenges and at the eliminations this season, he's just so disappointed every time. He's like, you guys got to get it together. You guys got to get it together. You guys got, it's just a broken record. What else can he really say to them at this point?
Yeah, I feel like he's the mouthpiece for the producers who were like, we really did not think this was gonna how it was gonna go. Team US, can you start fighting again or something? So it's disappointing to see Team UK just, you know, get completely just trampled on.
Yeah.
But maybe as they trim the fat a little bit, they'll do a little better, but I don't have high hopes, unfortunately.
Yeah, hard to say. So we're going to get to this elimination, and it is this season's version of the Hall Brawl, which we did have last season, and we saw a pretty intense battle. I want to say it, I don't know, it was so intense that I'm forgetting who it was, but I think it was Kyle versus Theo. Yeah, I'm pretty
sure
about
sounds
that.
Right.
That's
I'm pretty sure that
that's
was
who
right.
It was. And Kyle ended up getting sent home because Theo obviously made the final. So this season we have Joss versus Bear. When you look at the matchup right away, you're thinking, all right, this is probably Joss's to win. He's like much bigger, much, you know, stronger in general. But Bear put up a pretty good fight against Wes earlier on in the season, so I wasn't counting him out right away. The only thing is that like Wes was pretty, you know, emotionally defeated going into that elimination. So I think we talked about how, you know, he kind of looked like he lost from the start. And this one, Bear, I mean, Bear all season has been pumping himself up. I'm the best player on the team. People, I need to respect me more because I'm a strong player and I'm physically and mentally and I'm everything. So, you know, he was hyping himself up and nobody had more confidence at all this season or in this elimination than Bear. Obviously just didn't work out in his favor.
Yeah, like we've said before, we highlighted earlier, Bear definitely came into the season more prepared, looked like he had been working out. But ultimately, I think he was lucky that this was not a straight on Hall Brawl and had a few twists and turns, because you may have not been counting Bear out. But given Joss, I don't think you said, oh, he beat Wes, but I have much more faith in Joss in this type of elimination than I do Wes at this point in their careers. Joss is an absolute animal. Says he puts it best when he says, Bear put up a reasonable fight. So he's just a complete tank, and he's ultimately has the size and he's faster. So right. It was just, there was no way Bear was going to win this.
If this was like a typical hall brawl where it's just literally the one hallway and their guys are, you know, running into each other and then the first person to escape is the winner, then I think I definitely would have been, all right, 100% Joss is winning this. But it was a different kind of structure. So they had like, you know, six or seven walls set up and they had to run, you know, zigzagging in and out of the walls. And then of course, eventually they're going to meet in the middle. But I don't know. It's a different kind of it's a little bit of a change to the typical way that they do it. So you never know what could happen. You know, Joss could trip and fall, or Bear can just step over him. I don't know. It's not the same where it's just like you can hold somebody back in the one long hallway, and then once they're down and you know that you've beaten them, you know, to the ground for a solid minute or two, then you can get up and run past them because you have energy. It felt a little bit different. So yeah. Hard to say for sure, you know. It was hard for me to know for sure what might have been happening. But like we said, Bear's going to go. He is pretty pretty emotional, I think, on the way out to all of the remaining cast members.
Yeah, Bear got quite the large payday to show up. I know that it's been talked about how the producers have really brought in Bear and paid him so much because he is a big name in the UK. So it's good to see that he was actually excited, because I wasn't sure if he was here and playing his typical TV role, but he ultimately peace out after two seasons. But now that his contract is up, to see that he is actually excited to come back and do more, it's a good sign for the show and ultimately the UK's involvement in it.
Absolutely. I felt the exact same way. I mean, I was so sad. I expressed that earlier to you and to Colin and to Haley, that I was just so upset to be losing Bear. It's just, I mean, and honestly, if there was anybody that was more upset than me, I think it was TJ. He says at the end, right before, you know, right at the end of the elimination, he's like, I wish I could give it to both of you. And I think that's his way of saying, I can't believe we're sending Bear home. Like in the middle, before it's, I don't think they're even at the halfway point yet. I mean, they have been sending home, you know, a decent amount of people, but, and you never know how many people are going to make the final, but it still feels pretty early. And you know, Bear is just, as we've talked about this before, as crazy as he is and as much drama as he causes, people at the reunion last season were talking about, we would all love to live with Bear again. Like, I think they asked a question, who would want to live with him again? I think everybody raised their hand and said, sure, we would. So, you know, he's a pretty electric personality, to say the least. And I'm sure that, you know, everybody was just as sad to see him go as he was. I mean, Theo and Georgia, especially, we get another crying fit from Georgia watching another one of her friends leave. So we'll see if that continues, if Theo's the next one to go. But yeah, bye-bye, Bear.
Yeah, again, excited to see he'll be back. I'm sure he will be, controversies aside. I think we saw him on that season 35 list. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he literally says, hopefully I have another 10 seasons in me. And that line, I was like, what? Really?
Yeah. And as much as I'm not rooting for Bear to win these seasons, given what he does on the outside, but definitely down to have him back and competing.
And he won't. Like, he's not the kind of person that's built to win a final in any way. Like, this was, you know, you say every once in a while, like, oh, well, this person could win if it was a team challenge. I mean, here we are at a team challenge, and obviously people got to go, and Bear is one of the weaker guys of the remaining. I think maybe, like, Kyle, I would kind of put it like the same level as him. I think we give Kyle, or the we in general, a lot of people give Kyle a lot more credit than maybe he deserves. I don't know. I don't want to bash Kyle. I don't think that that's what I was going for here. But
completely
fair.
Yeah,
I think just when you compare him to, like, Theo or Joss or I don't know, maybe even Rogan. We haven't seen Rogan compete. I think he's just a little bit, you know, closer to the Bear side of things. So Bear's going to go here. Joss has the decision if he wants to switch teams, which we know he's not going to do. But what we didn't know, or at least I did not see coming, is he's going to tell us by just dropping his pants. So I'm sure a lot of people appreciated yeah. that. I mean, we've seen those boxers like a million times on Instagram and on the episode. So at this point, I'm just like, really? We're still doing this? I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I think that actions speak louder. So I thought he was just going to start walking. But no, pulls his pants down, has like the Union Jack boxers, which I think is the right name for the UK flag. But and then he pants around the ankles, has to jump up back to his team, which I don't think was a well thought out plan.
No,
he said his legs felt like jelly already.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm like probably super overthinking it, but like, can we not, like, if you're trying, you're so close to like a final and you're just doing stupid things. Like running around like this, like, this is where people, like, when they go out and they're drinking and then they get like a stupid injury because they were just doing something stupid, like, you trip and fall on your face, you're done. So I mean, I know I'm totally overthinking like the stupidest little thing at the end of the episode, but when I see things like this, I'm like, this is just the kind of thing that like a newer challenge player you know is prone to just be a little extra careless, but whatever. So that's what's going on there. We have a double elimination coming next week, which we will not even be able to watch live because we will be in a comedy club or at least a bar afterwards for live Survivor Know-It-Alls taping.
Yeah, so gonna try to avoid spoilers there. Very excited to watch. Little worried for the quieter members of my team, Idris and Esther, on that one. But exciting to see. I forget, Georgia was highlighting Kara's cult has been operating for too long, so wondering if that will come into play.
Yeah, Esther's not on your team, but that's okay.
No,
Colin,
I don't
only
even
has
remember.
So many players left, and if you could leave him the players that he has, I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
I assume I have all of Team UK at
this
point.
You really do. You have so many of them. You have Joss, Georgia, Jenny, Idris, and Rogan remaining in the game, with Jordan and Ashley representing Team US. So yeah, well, I'm trying to think. I have no memory of last time when we missed the challenge episode and we watched it together. I don't remember if we ended up getting spoiled or not. I know it's like super hard not to after the episode airs. I mean, I got spoiled on the, you know, the Laurel, Wes, and Bananas thing. It turns out from that, you know, from their social media. So I have no hopes in any kind of anything anymore for that. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I don't think we were on the last one. I think you were on the final reckoning. But I think I'll do the social media blackout. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I literally cannot put my phone down for 5 minutes at the moment. So to ask me to not be on Twitter for any amount of time is just not going to happen. Funny story. Well, I don't know if it's a funny story, but what was it, like 3 know-it-alls ago? Because I just got the iPhone 11. The iPhone 7 came... I think it was 3 years ago. I was at a know-it-alls and my iPhone 4, was it? I think I had the 4 before the 7 or 5. No, it was the 4. It stopped working because it had like water damage inside, which I didn't even know about. But it literally just stopped working. I had no cell service anywhere. My phone did not work for the duration of know-it-alls week from like Wednesday to Thursday. And I just had no phone unless I was in Wi-Fi, I think. So we went, because this was around Big Brother Over the Top. And then we went to the bar after the know-it-alls or whatever we were doing. And I remember I had Gagan's phone the entire time, because I just needed to scroll on his Twitter because the addiction just needs to be fed and I just need to be looking at something and not think about the fact that my phone wasn't working.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I could imagine you having a similar reaction to Jordan with the dirty plates, just, you know, freaking out. But yep. I'm glad to hear that you figured out something to hold you over.
Yes. Yeah, so I ended up getting my phone working like the next, well, not that phone working. I had to go to Verizon and get my new phone, and now here we are 3 years later, and hopefully that doesn't happen again because this phone is brand new. Just to quickly update the draft board that we've been talking about this entire episode, somehow Colin's team is still losing players and still right up my ass. I have 129 points. I'll tweet this out as well. I have 129 points with 7 players out of 8 remaining on my team with Laurel missing. Colin is 6 points behind me with Turbo, Cam, Kara, Zach, and Esther left in the game. Those 4 first picks that he has are just their Team US, and they win every challenge, and it's keeping him so close. And I mean, obviously the ideal situation for me would be that Zach goes home sometime soon, but I just don't know how likely that is. So I think both of us are kind of hoping for that to happen. You are climbing up. Well, have you been in third or
I think I was in second at one point, and then just fallen behind. Team UK is not coming through for me, unfortunately. Maybe they could pull out that final win. I'll get a big boost, but not looking likely.
If you get a final win, it's over for the rest of us. But you've got, I think I just ran down your team earlier, but you have 2 members of Team US with Jordan and Ashley, and then a bunch of people from the UK. You're sitting in third with 116 points, but I will never count you out of a draft. And then Haley's team somehow fell apart again. Don't know how that could happen, but we have Tori, Ninja, D, and Nani remaining on Haley's team. Yep, that sounds like Haley's team. Some 4. I was gonna say 4 standable women, but Ninja's there, so I don't really know. So that's the draft update. Is there? Oh no, of course. You almost let me get out of here without talking about Kara and Pauly, unless you were gonna stop me.
Oh no, Cara Pauly, you said you wanted to touch on the season 35 rumors, so yeah, 35, that's all out
there. We could definitely talk about 35 if we want to. I know some people don't like to know like specifics because sometimes you like can think into it and say like, oh, if this person's there, this person's not there, maybe like they did or didn't do well in the season. So definitely still down to talk about that. But first, Pauly and Cara, hello. I don't know how much you were tracking that during the week. I don't know if we really talked about it a whole lot. I know it kept coming, but it was happening so fast. It was hard to keep up with.
Yeah, it was so, like, I just hear, oh, they broke up. And my first thought is, oh, no, season 35 is going to be exclusively about Cara and Pauly and how everyone in the house is being divided between them. And I was not excited. Not that I'm standing this couple and need them to stay together, but I need next season not to be all about them. And I am enjoying having the break from a season being all about them on this current season.
Your first thought wasn't, let me go check on Matt.
No, sorry. I mean, I knew it got, it came up in one of our chat, in one of our texting, but yes. It was not, I think you were the first one to let me know.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
that shows.
But like, see, also the thing is, so the way that this timeline worked out was that, the first instance of, and there's to, I guess, back it up even more, there's been a lot of talk lately about Pauly's been with this person in Vegas and that person back home and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everybody monitors where every one of these guys go, but especially Pauly Calafiore. Like, there is such a big following and interest in Pauly and Cara, especially Pauly, I would say, from people on the internet. And I don't know if this has to do with Pauly's OnlyFans page, which I know a lot of people are invested in. So I don't know what the draw is, but whatever they're doing it right, because people just do not stop talking about them. And I mean, I guess, I don't know if you want to say that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think at the end of the day, in a business like this, having people talk about you is where you want to be, because that means they're going to put you back on the shows. Not that Cara had any, you know, worry about being called back or
anything. Neither
like
of
that.
Them.
No, yeah, I'm for sure. But like, to consistently have your names, like they're like, MTV's not losing their numbers anytime soon. They're, like, if anything, like maybe this is helping them get more money. I don't know. I mean, that's not something we talk about a whole lot for some of these regular cast members. You know, obviously we talk about it for like Bear or whoever, but I don't know. Maybe it's possible they're looking for more money and they can kind of hold back a little bit with MTV and say, all right, well, you see, you guys kind of need us right now. I don't know if they ever go in that kind of direction, but it could be.
Yeah, definitely fair. I feel like this is a move that you pull when you are actually desperate to get the call back, which, I mean, who knows how things could be in the next couple of years if the UK keeps invading. But I just was completely flabbergasted to not shocked that, oh, they didn't break up, but like, the, oh, it's a prank. Oh, it's a social media experiment. Oh, it's this, it's that. I was like, why? Well, I really don't have the time. I can't be invested. I was, you know, worried about my sanity for how it was going to affect next season. But in terms of their, you know, the games that they're playing, I'm good. I'm very much fine.
Right. So the timeline of how this worked out was like 3 nights ago, let's say, Cara's live. I actually got a text from one of my friends that I work with, and she's like a challenge casual, but we still talk about it every once in a while at work. And she'll text me sometimes about like, oh, what's going on with Cara and Pauly? And I'm like, I don't even know. As much as I pay attention, I also like can't keep up with every single thing that they're saying. But she texted me and she's like, what's going on with them? And I turns out it was a real thing. Cara went on live and she was talking about, you know, listen, everybody has so many opinions, so many thoughts. You love to tell me this. You love to tell me that. Just keep in mind that Pauly and I are together, but we might not be. We have always been in an open relationship. There is no such thing as cheating, but maybe we aren't in an open relationship. We have been, you know, we've seen other people, but maybe we also haven't. You'll never know. The only people who are going to know the truth are me and Pauly. And then at like the very end, she pans the camera over to Pauly and she's like, what do you think about that? And if you were just watching that live at the time without knowing that was happening, you probably didn't realize Pauly was there. So that was kind of weird at the very end. And Pauly's like, yeah, I agree. And then so they tried to be funny with that. And then the very next day, Pauly gets on live and he's talking about, listen, I, you know, you guys can start recording this right now if you want to, because, you know, I know you're going to. Cara and I are done. It's, you know, we're always going to have respect for each other. We're always going to care for each other. You know, it's just, we're going in separate directions and this is it. And, you know, I appreciate all the love and support and blah, 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 whatever he's, you know, putting on a show. And then I guess the next day, like not even 24 hours later, I see Twitter start to blow up and it's like, oh, that was fake. None of that was real. They're literally together. There was a picture that was posted on Dee's Instagram. I think a couple of them are still in London. They just filmed the reunion. I think over last weekend. And there was a picture of Dee on her Instagram with Paulie and Cara in the background at some restaurant. And it was like the day after they had broken up, which I just did air quotes. And obviously everybody who was listening to the podcast saw that. And so we saw that they were together. It's like, oh, was that an old picture? No, they were together. And then they went on another live and they were like, we gotcha. And just so you know, like, you can't say that this was like not actually planned. We've been taking videos every step of the way that we were talking about that we're going to do this. So these guys are just having a hell of a time trolling the fan base. And I mean, at a certain point, I'm like, I just don't even know how to react to it. It's just like, are you like, what's your reaction?
It's okay. So I know that you've been like a Kara fan through the multiple seasons that you've watched. I have not always been a Kara fan. I have not always been a Pauly fan. But with this season, them having a lower key edit, with them really minding their own business, not going too crazy, I have started to come around and started to get on the train. And not that I'm ever going to, you know, sign off 100% on Pauly outside of the show, or even, I don't know, Kara outside of the show. So who knows? But I was, you know, maybe getting on board, and then this, it's like, oh, I remember, like, Tori remembered why she didn't like Jordan on the show. I remember why I did not like Kara and Pauly together and on the show and off the show. So really was just like, okay, like, just go away. I'm good. I'm fine.
And so I guess here's my, you know, you probably knew this was coming, my little bit of defending of the two of them on the matter. Just the fact that, I mean, and this isn't about them. This is about like anybody that goes on reality TV, any showmans, any couple, anybody in general. We know how fans are with all of these people. They love to get involved. And, you know, of course, they have every right to get involved and be invested in these people just because, you know, Cara Maria has been on 13 seasons of The Challenge. Like, these guys want the attention. Don't worry about it. But the only thing is that sometimes, or a lot of the times, it does go too far. And fans, you know, a lot of it's pretty much the younger fans, and they just love to try to be in these people's lives by sending them messages and commenting on every single social media post with this and that and whatever. And what was I reading? I was listening to something recently. I don't even know it. Okay, ignore that thought. But it's just about how like people are reading all these comments and you start to believe them, even though you know the truth. Like, you know what the reality is of your relationship with so-and-so, or you know what actually happened while you were in the Big Brother house. But then people, or at least you think you do. I don't know about this BB21 cast. But then, you know, you come out and everyone's telling you a million different things, and you just, like, you know, eventually you want to shut the fans out and you want to be like, all right, enough. I've heard enough. So the fact that Cara and Pauly were taking this, like, I don't think that I like sign off on the trolling as in terms of like, I thought this was good and fun. But like, I'm not mad at them that they did it. Like, they, you know, they have every right to be stupid and, you know, and troll the fans and make them, you know, sit there freaking out for 24 hours for no reason. Like, you know, I would do the same thing probably.
Yeah. I think that it's less so if a different couple, because I know, sorry, I know couples on like a Bachelor and whatever, like, they've pulled pranks, never bothered me as much because they don't have the track history that necessarily this one does. And so it was like, oh, guys, we were just in an okay spot. Like, please just let it lie for a minute. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, if you end a little bit of the, if you want to frame it as, oh, this was a prank, like, if you're going to call it like, oh, this was a social experiment, like, what are you going to do with the data? Like, this, you're not doing anything here. Don't frame this as anything like higher, you know, like higher power point than it was. So that's a little bit annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. At the end of the day, these two want your attention, and everybody on the internet gave them their attention over the past 48 plus hours. And, you know, whatever your reaction to it, they got exactly what they wanted. There was literally like a people, was it, I think, article that was written about Pauly and Cara break up. And then the replies were just a million people commenting, no, it was fake. But they already had the article out. So I don't know. I don't know if they got, if it got taken down or what, but they got the exact attention that they were looking for. And like I said, if that, you know, is going to do anything to increase their pay for this challenge or any other challenge going forward, good on them if they were able to accomplish that. Otherwise, I don't know. I guess we're killing time between shows.
And it's fair. You get bored. Ultimately, it's not going to make me, you know, hate either one of them or really even dislike. But let's just let's calm it down.
Right. So that's that. Colin, any thoughts? I love Pauly now. I think he's great. thank you, Colin. So that's just me killing time while I pull up Vevmo for a little bit of a sneak peek into the Challenge 35. And we do this every season pretty much when the list starts to come out about potential cast members. And then like every season, we say a couple names and then they're just not there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, the people who work on getting the spoilers and the cast and all this stuff for Vevmo is the name of the website, V-E-V-M-O, not Venmo, the money exchange app for your phone. You can check out, you know, all of this stuff on there. But they make it very clear that like nothing is confirmed. It literally says no one is 100% confirmed until they're in front of TJ. They can get dropped or they can be alternates, but we know that they are like, they were contacted. They said yes. And it sounds like they're supposed to be out there. So I'll run down the list really quick. And you know, I'll do the guys first. You tell me if there's any standouts. We have Billy from X on the Beach season 3, which I know that you didn't really watch a whole lot of. I just caught up on the season. Not really upset about it. We have actually, no, I feel like I need to go by this kind of like one by one because there are a couple of names that are standing out already. We have a pretty big contingent of Big Brother 20 names here, starting with Swaggy, Fessy, Casey, and Bailey.
Yeah, I know. Casey. Sorry, I was messing up two names there. But Casey did annoy a lot of people with a video that she had put out, you know, excusing some of the BB21 cast recently. But until then, I was pretty excited about these four and thought like, okay, this is like a diverse group. This is not necessarily who you would have thought of as the first picks. Bringing on, you know, Swaggy and Bailey as a couple is an interesting decision, but I was excited. I think they're a good mix of competitive and, you know, drama and whatever else the challenge is looking for. I am not sure how they'll ultimately mix in, but given that we were really expecting Caitlin, who I just didn't think that was ever going to pan out, sad not to see her back on TV yet, but I have faith it'll come. I know a lot of us thought Brett and Haley, but I'm open to Brett. Didn't really think Haley would be as exciting. Think Fessy ultimately is actually the better call there in terms of both challengeability. And if I can, you know, see who flipped one more time, I'm down for the for the casting call.
For the challenge.
Yeah,
you,
exactly.
You should have went through with the pun. yeah. So, I mean, obviously very upset to not see Caitlin's name on here. If anything, she's actually on like the not likely list on the bottom of this page. So disappointed about that. But I don't know. I think, you know, hopefully there's a Big Brother, any kind of all-star. I mean, I don't think there's actually an all-stars, you know, as much as we're going to keep saying that for years and years to come. But I mean, they got to get Nicole back in that house, right? And they had Caitlin all over the season. She wasn't even on it. So I don't know. Maybe if the challenge isn't, you know, seeming like the best fit for her, we'll maybe get her back on Big Brother. That's my hope. And Brett got into a relationship at the wrong time. Like, what are you doing living your real life and falling in love with somebody when a show like The Challenge was about to cast you? Like, what are you thinking? So that's what Brett's up to. I don't know why they didn't want Haley. I don't know the status of Fessy and Haley at the moment. I think they like broke. Again, I'm doing air quotes that you can definitely
quote unquote.
See. They broke up before X on the Beach season. This one, before the one that just filmed, the fourth season. They broke up right before that, which didn't even end up getting them cast on the show. So I don't know what's going on there. But quick takes. Swaggy, I don't think is made for the show. I think he'll be out pretty early. Fessy, maybe once like Swaggy's gone, if he can latch on to somebody. Bailey, I can see doing well. But like also if Swaggy gets taken down early, I don't know how she'll recover from that. And Casey, I think, can do well. I think she'll mix in pretty well. I think she's going to be very popular amongst the guys and the girls. I think that everyone's going to want to be around her. I think, I mean, not that she's like the most electric personality or anything like that, but like, I think that she's, I mean, we saw everybody liked Casey on her season. She obviously, that's why she won. People like in the pre-jury, everybody like wanted Casey to win. So I think she's got that likability factor. I've met her once at the, we both saw her at the BB premiere party. And she was really nice to talk to. So, you know, aside from whatever is going on right now with the, you know, social media stuff with Jackson and Holly and all that, I think she'll do well here. And the next name that pops up for me is Jay, Survivor Jay.
Yeah, Jay surprised. I know that there was a little bit of drama that might have kept him from competing. It was rumored that he was cut ultimately from, I think, the 33 cast. So interested to see him pop up here. So we'll finally get our first Survivor U.S. player on the challenge. But I think it's, she's not in the not likely, but surprised we don't have Morgan's name here along with him.
100%. Like I was completely surprised to see that Morgan wasn't a lock. I mean, this season or last season, she is still, as far as I know, dating Johnny Bananas. And if there's anybody in the world that could convince production to let their significant other come onto a show with them, you have to think it's Johnny Bananas. And I don't know what the story is there. I don't know if he's not dying to get her on, if she's not dying to come back on. I can't imagine that's the case. But for whatever reason, I mean, you know, this cast is certainly not locked in yet. But the fact that, you know, she wasn't on last season or on this upcoming season potentially is surprising to me. So, yeah, we'll have our first Survivor representation on the challenge in the form of Jay. I have no idea how that'll go. I think he could definitely mix in with a couple people, you know, find a group to just get taken into. But I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him winning an elimination, mm-hmm. you know, against yeah. some of these other players. So
completely the same. He could be likable enough to float along. But if it's like, so you can call out someone, why not call out Jay? He's not going to maybe some climbing, but in a hall brawl, he's done.
Yes. And then quickly, the rest of these guys, Banana Surprise, you know, Jordan, not too surprised, but like also kind of surprised.
Bit.
I feel like, you know, he's not guaranteed for back-to-back seasons in any world. Josh, duh, Paul, duh, Rogan, sure, Bear, yay, and Wes, kind of surprised. I thought he would be like, you know, I think he had like a 2-season contract, surprised to see him back, but he's here, so, Wes. And then the surprise on the male side, which I think we talked about off air, Corey. Corey's back. Corey, like not Corey Brooks, who almost made an appearance recently. Corey from whatever Real World season he was, Explosion, mm-hmm. that I definitely watched with along with all the other Real World seasons. But Teen Mom Star, I should say, Corey is here.
Yeah, floored. Did not believe it. I know after Pastagate happened, there was some statement where they said, like, oh, we probably wouldn't have worked with Corey if it had aired, but you had seen the footage. So I don't know. I know the reaction was so big to, you know, Corey basically slamming Tony on his neck on concrete. So I don't know how this decision is happening and how insurance is deciding to cover him. But interesting call, at least. Didn't think we would see him back.
Yeah, and we still might not. I mean, we
that is fair.
We get so excited, like, over the, somebody like this next person that I want to say for, I think, the past 2 or 3 seasons, we keep saying, oh my God, they're putting Anissa back on the show, which is seeming to be the case again this time. Anissa's name is on this list, and every time that we've said it in the past few seasons, departure day comes and she's not there.
Yeah, not the name I thought you were going to go with when you said excited, but ultimately Anissa's name...
prospect of her coming back. I like to see some of the returning players, and I was always an Anissa fan.
Yeah, I like Anissa. I just don't know where she's going to fit in with this new crop. So I really worry about her. She's great at the eliminations, but I think Anissa's time to win a challenge is gone. So I'm fine with having her back, but I don't need her to become a regular again.
Is Anissa single? I mean, I don't think, I don't know if you know that.
I'm not going to know that.
I don't know. Anissa and Casey both being, I think Casey's not single. So there goes that. That'd be a fun showmans.
3 out of 4 or potentially 4 out of 4 Big Brother 20 cast members not being single is interesting for them getting on this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the rest of the list here, we've got Ashley Mitchell, which again, you know, not like super surprising, but like happy to, you know, not be losing her after this is like the 3rd or 4th consecutive season. Like I did not see that coming. Not going to complain in any way. Big T, is her name is on here.
Yeah, happily surprised. It's I looked dumb if you go back a couple episodes ago. I was like, we're never getting Big T back. I'm so upset, but very excited to be proven wrong. I thought she was a bright spot for someone who went out so early. And out of the rookies this season, even though she only had two episodes, one of the standouts for me. So excited to see that she might be getting a second chance.
Yes, and another person from this cast getting a second chance is Jenny's name is on here. And
fine.
not much of a comment. We have Kara, we have D, you know, Nani, same boat as Wes, kind of like, oh, sure, okay, keep doing this. Ninja, not surprised, but not needed. And then Tori is here. But the last big name that I see on this list, somebody that we've been wanting back for a while, Melissa might be back.
DJ Mel Reeves. I'm so excited. Yeah, very, very excited. I know that she had been dating someone who didn't want to do the challenges, allegedly. So I don't know if that's ended or what, but excited to have potentially single Melissa back on this show. And maybe it'll be her and Anissa. Who knows?
I'm down for whatever is going on here. I think Melissa is so much fun, and we missed out on the chance to see her like back to back to back after that whole thing went down with Kayla. Kayla, you know, is noticeably missing for me still, because I think I've said to you recently, she's like my number one in terms of waiting for them to come back, you know, with Tony and a bunch of those other guys, which is why I was surprised to see Corey. Like, all the people from those seasons seem to be kind of like on the sidelines for now while they have the UK show going on. I'm sure they'll all be back eventually, but for the time being, it seems like they're all kind of chilling off to the side besides Corey. And I don't want to go over this entire long list of names of people that are not scheduled to appear. Yeah. Like I said, you can check that out on your own. Let's just, you know, keep our fingers crossed that Devon is going to show up out there.
I need it.
And, you know, maybe some of the Are You the One A-cast? That would be
great. Yeah, I mean, we don't have certain names on this list. I am very worried about not seeing next season, but I think it makes more sense to dive into after they've actually flown out. And, you know, so we don't go through this whole list twice and it looks completely different hypothetically. Right. But I am interested to see how this list actually turns out. One thing I did forget to highlight, so I'm confused as to Joss actually not being on this season so far, is turns out allegedly Joss is dating Bear's cousin, in quotations, aka his ex-girlfriend that he was cheating on with Georgia.
Yes, I saw something about that. Sure.
Yeah, interesting. The reality TV circle in the UK runs very small.
Oh, yeah.
So very interesting to see the elimination between current and ex-boyfriend of Bear's cousin.
Yes. I won't, like I said, I don't want to go down the entire rest of this list. If I didn't say a name of a person that you were like, wow, that person's not going to be on, there's really no way to know. There's still, I think, 2 weeks before they leave. And the rest of this list is split down between people that are like, some people got an availability call and we're not sure if they're on or not. And then there's also some people who are very likely not going to be on. So if I didn't say somebody's name, they might be in either of those two lists, which means who knows where the heck they are going to be. So we'll see how that plays out. And I'm sure once we have the confirmed cast, whenever they do leave, we'll go over it. But now I know what it's like when, you know, we're listening to like a Big Brother podcast on RHAP and they're like a half an hour after they said that they were going to stop. And we're always like, how are you still talking? Like, that's what just happened to us.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, oh, we're wrapping up. Oh, no, it's 45 minutes later. One thing I will say with Vevmo is be extremely careful if it's your first time using it. There are spoilers for every show on there. Don't go looking if you don't want to know. And even if you do want to know, don't go looking. Don't do it. So, but you Google exactly what you want, challenge 35 cast or whatever, and it should pop up, but be careful.
Yeah, I mean, and also we just told you, and if you don't want to, you know, play, if you want to play it safe, just wait till the next time that we tell you whatever the update is, or I'm sure you'll see it on Twitter or something. These message boards are definitely a spoiler pit, and your best bet is to just stay away from them. So that's that. So that's what we've got going on this week. We will see what's going on next week. We're obviously not going to be able to watch live, but I'm sure we'll watch at some point together next week. And then hopefully once we're back home, you know, over the weekend or something, we'll find time to sit down and talk about it. And very excited for next week for Know-It-Alls, to, you know, see everybody and all that. So that's always a great time. And any closing thoughts so we can finally get out of here?
No, I am good and excited to talk about the double elimination and to hang out in person upcoming week.
Oh, yeah. With both our bosses, I think we have two, but I know we only talk to one regularly. Dom and Colin will both be with us next week. So, you know, we'll have a great time. We'll update you guys on anything that happens. There's always a good Dom story or two to share. So if they're not going to share it on the main Survivor podcast, then we definitely will hear. So you have that to look forward to. And until next time, we will see you next time. Bye.